Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
Top three tips. Okay, I think definitely one is to have fun in whatever you're doing. Number two is to get a great team around you. So I'm very, very fortunate in both Agent Mail and Brandstrong that the people I've surrounded myself with and the people that help me run the business are just as enthusiastic about what we do as I am. And number three, I think just care for your customers. You know, listen to your customers, understand what they need, you know, and just fill that need. You know, once you find out what they want, just give them what they want.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Welcome back to my careers podcast, where I interview fascinating professionals who've made amazing career changes. Now, today I have a very interesting gentleman on the show. His name is Carl Quested, and he's the director of Agent Mail. This is a marketing company, and he's also the co-founder of a subscription-based graphic design service called Brandstrong. He's the author of a book, Alpha Mail, How to List and Sell More Property Using Direct Mail. And of course, this is targeted to real estate agents, so lucky them having a book such as Alpha Mail to refer back to. Now, with regard to Carl, having started his first business with $2,000 in his spare room, he now employs over 10 staff across his businesses and has a six and a seven figure business. He's spoken around Australia on the subject of marketing, and what we're going to do today is to find out about his career journey from his high school days to commercial insurance with Lloyd's of London through to now, where else has he been? In business development roles, to being an owner of his own business, being a co-founder of a subscription-based business. So let's find out how he made the amazing transition into creating this incredible entrepreneurial journey. So welcome to the show, Carl.
Thanks so much for having me, Jane. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, I've been looking forward to speaking with you because you've done so many different things, and looking on your LinkedIn profile and, you know, we're having to, you know, we're Facebook friends and seeing what you're doing and how you market yourself as well. It's really been an interesting journey, and I'm really impressed with the businesses. So let's find out a little bit about your early days. How did everything begin when you were a little boy and when you were a teenager? What were your early thoughts about careers?
Yeah, look, Jane, well, when I was at high school, I started out with the ambition of actually being a high school PE teacher. I always loved sport. I never excelled at any one particular sport. I was sort of just average at a lot of different sports. So I always, you know, loved being around sport. I loved playing sport. And it sort of felt like a natural, a natural career for me. I was always very much in leadership with sport, so, you know, quite often captain of teams and things like that. So I kind of wanted to provide that leadership and mentorship to other people as well. So that was my ambition in high school.
Okay, and so now I know the journey took quite a different turn. So what happened when you left high school and you started to make your decisions as to, okay, what career am I going to get into?
Yeah, sure. So I basically met my now wife, my high school sweetheart, at high school. And around the age of 15, we were basically inseparable. And by the time we sort of got to 17, our parents kind of really wanted us to start making some important decisions around, university and things like that. And we just both kind of felt that we, at the time, rightly or wrongly, we were sort of so wrapped up in ourselves that was more important at the time than anything else. So at the age of 17, we decided to drop out of school because we wanted to move in together and we wanted to start our lives together. And so that's where it became important to go out and find a job. So that really started. We started looking at pretty much all types of careers, and I knew early on that I wasn't really made for manual labor. That just wasn't for me. So I sort of started looking at, in particular, office based jobs, and one that really came across as perfect for me was a telemarketing role. So I worked in what's called a list broker. And a list broker sells names and numbers of people that have responded to lifestyle surveys or a profile to live in a certain area or earn a certain income. And my job was to get on the phone and sell these lists to financial advisors and mortgage brokers.
Oh, how interesting. Actually, thinking about your early days and falling in love and, you know, being with your childhood sweetheart, it's a little bit like a Romeo and Juliet, isn't it? And then, but, you know, with a happy ending, and that you decided, okay, we're going to drop out, we're going to run away and do what we really want to do. And you carried on. So I think that's absolutely lovely. But with telemarketing, that would have been a really good start for you, because I know that you got into very much customer service type roles. And here's where I'm assuming you learned how to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the great thing, I guess, about joining the workforce at that age with little education was I kind of had no preconceived ideas about how the world worked. So when someone said to me, you know, pick up this phone and start dialing these people, I didn't sort of really understand quite, you know, how profile a financial advisor was or what, you know, profession went into that. So for me, none of that sort of apprehension was there. I just picked up the phone and started making the calls. And I've always been a very chatty person, so I really didn't struggle to just chat to people on the phone. It just came very naturally to me.
Yeah, you know, and actually, I like that idea of being a little bit of a sponge as well, because you would have been very young, and obviously you were keen to learn and keen to develop relationships too. So you must have had an amazing positive attitude to, okay, let's see how well I can do. And so with the telemarketing, were you pretty successful in that area?
Yeah, I was. I was. It was one of those things that I just really took to like a duck to water. Like you say, it really was like being a sponge. Everything was new and exciting for me. I was out in the big wide world. I was earning money, you know, for the first time in my life, and I was working alongside other people that, you know, had mortgages and kids and things like that. So there was so much to absorb and take in, and, you know, it really sort of helped shape, you know, how I was going to be as an adult, starting, you know, just at the age of 17.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to remember how young you were when you went into the workforce as well, with a really, really strong work ethic, obviously. And so how did things progress from there?
Yeah, so from that role, I was there for about 18 months, and I just got bored of the product that I was selling. I still loved selling. I loved telemarketing, but the product itself just kind of became, you know, I think everyone after a certain amount of time starts to lose if there's not enough variety in what it is you're selling or who you're selling to. So, I mean, I was selling everyday lists to just financial advisors and mortgage brokers. So it became very, very monotonous. So I started looking for what else can I do? And I actually then joined a company that was selling telecommunications. So in the UK, BT or British Telecom was the big provider. And these guys were one of the wholesalers of BT services. So a very, very small team, and I actually came in as their, for want of a better phrase, team leader. So this was at the age of 18, and I was in charge of a team of 5 call center agents.
And so here's where you developed leadership skills and how to manage people and motivate people.
Yeah, definitely. And look, it was a very, very sort of you know, sweatshop environment. They literally had 10 copies of the Yellow Pages. And the idea was, there was your Yellow Pages, there was your phone call, go get them, Tiger, and that was your training. So that was very much deep end stuff. So
yeah, fly by the seat of your pants, see how you go. You must have had to make so many phone calls. But what did you think? You know, like, there you were, 18 years old, you were leading a team, developing leadership skills, being a manager, having to crack the whip, really. What were those first leadership lessons that you learned?
I think it was understanding how to motivate people. Once you understand what drives people to do what they do, it becomes really easy to get them to do what you need them to do. Because once you understand what their driver is, it's really easy to say, well, look, if you do this and you're able to achieve this, this is going to be your outcome. So for me, that was really the most important lesson, was understanding what people's individual drivers were.
Yeah, actually, it's so true. You know, I do quite a lot of Leadership Foundations workshops, and people always want to know, you know, what are the key qualities of a successful leader? But it's not so much about being a leader and telling people what to do. It's listening and figuring out what it is that really makes the other person tick. Because, you know, some people are motivated by money, some people are motivated by power or recognition or status or just a friendly environment too. And if you can dangle the right carrot in front of them, then they'll get moving, won't they?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, so how long were you a team leader with this telco?
So I was with them, it must have been about 8 months or so. And unfortunately, the company was really badly mismanaged financially. So that was my first of, where am I now, 2-3 redundancies. Unfortunately, it was a very messy one because the company, went under. There wasn't sort of the same redundancy procedures as there are in Australia. The government doesn't sort of look after you for those kinds of things. So it was a little bit messy. My first, another life lesson, you know, of understanding the difference between the people that own the company and the people that work for the company.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, I mean, with a redundancy, most people find it quite an emotional time as well, because even though it's a business decision, or it's, well, obviously if the company went under, it's unavoidable, people still feel somehow very often that they feel, could I have done something differently to change the situation? But this would have been a lesson in resilience for you then. How did you bounce back?
Well, look, I think that the age was actually on my side. I mean, I was only 19 at this stage, and I kind of just took it as this was kind of part of what happens in business. You know, you have to be prepared that these things are going to happen. You know, I didn't have a 25-year tenure with the company, and that it came as a complete shock to me. I was still very much in the infancy of my career, and I just kind of went, well, this is just how things go sometimes, you know. And I think that really allowed me to bounce back a lot quicker, because I just kind of, you know, brushed it off as this is just part of what business is.
Mm-hmm. So you found yourself another job. Now, I was having a look at your LinkedIn profile, and you were in sales roles with Pitney Bowes and business development with Iron Mountain before transitioning into entrepreneurship yourself. So You've obviously got a very, very solid sales business development background, also with, you know, a lot of customer service experience as well. And so what was it, because I'm fast forwarding now a few years, what was it that made you want to set up your own business?
I think the need to do it had always been there for me. I mean, as a young child, I used to want to be a veterinary surgeon. But when I used to talk to my mum about it, and she would explain to me that I didn't just want to be a vet, I actually wanted to run the practice. And for me, you know, when I used to role play these things, this was when I was 4 or 5, I wouldn't sort of, you know, role play fixing the pets. I would role play, this is my shop front, and this is where my, you know, my reception desk goes. And so I think it had always been sort of in me to go into business. And what I learned was, as I went through working at different companies, I really started to sort of pick holes in their operations. You know, I just wasn't one of these people that sort of went along with the status quo. I would constantly question, well, why are we doing things this way? There must be an easier way of doing this, or there must be a better way of doing this. And so I think it kind of got to the point of, you know, I've either got to put up or shut up here. I need to go and give this a try to find out if I'm actually capable of running a business and, you know, doing this myself.
Okay. And so how did you hit upon the idea of alpha male? Because, not alpha male, agent male and specializing in the real estate business? Because you could have really chosen in an industry, couldn't you?
Yeah, look, I mean, for me, I always sort of look for opportunities within my knowledge base. So, for example, when I was working at Pitney Bowes, for those that don't know, Pitney Bowes is a company that sells and manufactures office equipment, so folding and inserting machines, franking machines, and the like. So one of my verticals that I looked after as a salesperson there was real estate. And a lot of these real estate agents were spending, you know, $20,000, $25,000 on these big folding machines, but they were doing less and less volume. And I, I heard this story over and over again of agents sort of saying, look, we just don't want to upgrade these machines. They're costing too much. We're just not doing as much. And I sort of spoke to so many and said, well, what are you doing? You must still be sending some letters. And they were sending a couple of thousand a month, but they were just folding them by hand because they didn't want to have the cost of the machine on top. So I just really saw, I guess, a bit of an opportunity. I did some research on mail houses, and these big mail house companies that have multi-million dollar machines were only really interested in the likes of the government and the rates notices or the financial institutions. No one was sort of interested in these smaller companies that were sort of doing runs of, you know, 500 or 1,000. So I just felt there was something there. There was a need in that SMB market to be serviced for outsourcing of their marketing.
Yeah, oh, so you noticed the gap in the market. Smart move there. Mm. And actually, you know, small business owners, we really, I mean, for myself, you know, I'm a consultant and a coach, and so I'm a small business, and we do need that support. And so often with suppliers, they are geared up for the major brands. And if you don't have the budget of the major brands, very often you get stuck. And so you must have been a breath of fresh air, and you would have been able to sell your services into them quite easily.
Yeah, relatively so. I mean, it's funny because, you know, my father-in-law couldn't understand why I was opening up a mail house when my, you know, direct mail was in such a decline and continues to be in decline. You know, so people thought I was a little bit crazy by moving into an industry that was, you know, essentially being fought from every angle, from, you know, digital marketing to email and so on and so forth. But for me, it was a lot more about, you know, there's still a need for this. There's still a need, you know, in real estate in particular, all the time they build houses with letterboxes, real estate agents will continue to put things in them. You know, so I knew that this was not going to be, you know, email had been around for 20 years already, and it still hadn't managed to wipe out direct mail. So I knew that this wasn't going to be an overnight thing that was going to dissipate. And when I started speaking to agents, yeah, a lot of them were very receptive to the idea of no longer having to do that task in-house.
You know, it's so interesting. I'd love your opinion on this. When it comes to direct mail versus the digital marketing, what is the percentage success rate or return rate when it comes to, you know, these letterbox drops that real estate agents do?
Yeah, look, there's probably, in terms of the language you use there, Jane, there's a big difference between what they would determine a letterbox drop and a direct mail. Mm-hmm. So a letterbox drop is essentially where they would go door-to-door, letterbox to letterbox, with a generic flyer that they would just drop in the letterbox. Mm-hmm. And the response rates on that are significantly low. You know, when you speak to agents about the reason they do it, it's much more about branding and profile and maintaining top of mind than it is actually a direct response or getting somebody to pick up the phone and call them today.
So that would be a very niche market. If a real estate agent was focusing on one particular area, they do a letterbox drop, that person gets known as a personality in that area. So that would work. But over a broad area, then it probably wouldn't be such a good idea.
Well, that's right. Yeah, so most real estate agents work on a sort of geographic patch or farm area is what they tend to refer to it as. And so the whole idea of a real estate agent is their sales cycle is significantly longer than almost any other product. So they basically have the industry has a turnover of 7 years. So people move on average every 7 years. So what that means is that the real estate agent needs to try and stay top of mind and interesting throughout that 7 year period. So that the moment that person comes to sell, they're the first person that they actually think of.
And is that where the direct mail comes into play?
Yeah, so really direct mail is just being used as a much more personalized approach. So, you know, everyone's email is getting sort of bombarded with spam and newsletters and things like that. The average number of letters that we now get a week is significantly less than it was 5 or 10 years ago. So the agent that actually invests in doing direct mail gets a lot more cut through because they might be only one of, you know, 4 or 5 letters a week that person's receiving. Whereas if they're sending an email, it might be one of 4 or 5 that hour that person has received.
Mm, that's true. So direct mail actually is a very good marketing technique for real estate agents now.
Absolutely, and especially if it's used properly. I mean, you know, none of these things, as I say, you can't influence someone to sell their home. You know, people are either looking to sell their home or they're not looking to sell their home. So the idea is, what value can you provide that person in the 7 years that they're not looking to move? You know, and that can be everything from adding value through letting them know about events in the area, or letting them know about new developments or new businesses that have opened up that are going to be interesting to them, providing them services, you know, that sort of complement property. So things like, you know, they might have references to a great electrician, so they might do a write-up on an electrician or something like that. They might also be holding an event, so they might sort of do like a barbecue day or an outdoor cinema or something like that. So direct mail allows them to have that conversation on a one-on-one basis in a time that is suitable to the reader. Whereas everything else is more what Seth Godin would talk about, interruption marketing. It's trying to interrupt you from what you're trying to do. Direct mail allows the person to consume that content in a time that's most suitable to them.
Yeah, actually it makes a lot of sense, because we don't get a lot of like snail mail anymore. And so getting a letter from someone is really quite a thrill for me. Of course, we still get bills and I get email bills as well. But whenever it's a handwritten letter from someone, it's quite a novelty, and it really is lovely business etiquette as well. So yeah, that's a great way of getting noticed. And I agree with you with that interruption marketing. This is how I feel about a lot of email newsletters. It's my email inbox is being interrupted constantly, and I keep having to delete. But if I get an interesting letter, a real one that I can hold, I pay more attention to it.
That's right, Jane. And look, there's still a lot of studies which show that our brains are still geared towards that tangible and being able to sort of touch something. We place a higher value on the item that we can sort of touch and feel than we do over an email. You know, so there's a disparity between people using email to create value with, or, you know, create connections, compared to a letter that we can actually touch and hold, you know, and revisit, you know, over time.
That's good. Now, for people who are interested in agent mail, specifically real estate agents, because that's your target market, how would they get in touch with you, and what are all of the different services that you offer through agent mail, before I want to talk about your other business?
Yeah, sure. So they can just go to the website, which is agentmail.com.au. Or obviously they can look us up on Facebook as well. And we have a Facebook page on there. But yeah, have a look at our website. All of our pricing and information on our services and Alpha Mail, the book, is all on our website.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. Agentmail.com.au. I'll put that up on my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com as well. So that is one fascinating facet of your entrepreneurial journey, Carl. And I know that you are still on another entrepreneurial journey too, because you more recently started up this business, Brand Strong. What's that all about?
Yeah, so Brand Strong was born myself and my co-founder, who's also called Carl, funnily enough, which gets very confusing. But unfortunately, neither of us want to actually change our name, so we'll leave that one alone. But that actually came because he runs a wide format and signage business. And we would get together kind of like accountability buddies, and we would sort of catch up over time because we sort of had an allied services. So, you know, we service kind of a similar demographic that had the same sort of needs. So we would catch up on a regular basis and just talk about business in general. And one of our biggest frustrations all the time was the artwork that our clients provided. We'd have clients that were trying to do things in Publisher, you know, in Word, and they were sort of just trying to put together artwork that they were spending thousands of dollars either mailing out or putting up on signs and banners and billboards, which they'd sort of just doctored themselves. So it was a constant frustration of trying to get really good quality artwork from our clients. So the idea was born that, well, how can we provide a service that takes care of graphic design, when, as you know, the perception of graphic design is that it's, you know, it's too expensive, we have to pay every time there's a revision, the files don't come through in the right format, and then we have to pay again. So we wanted to try and sort of remove a lot of the friction from the graphic design industry. And so we came up with the concept of Brand Strong.
And so how do you take the pain away? How do you make things easier for people?
So BrandStrong is a fixed cost graphic design service. So what I mean by that is you pay one monthly fee, and for that, all of your graphic design needs are taken care of. So whether you need design for business cards, for flyers, and we even do things like vehicle wraps and billboards, pretty much anything, you know, social media images and the like, anything that is design-based, we take care of at BrandStrong. So from a user perspective, you can pay one monthly fee and have all of those design needs taken care of.
Really? And so how many projects would you be, I mean, so if it's a small business with one project, obviously they'd be paying a fee, but do you have it at different levels for different size businesses and needs?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Jane, it's really based on the complexity of the design. So for all of your normal design, like flyers, business cards, stationery, social media images, and so on, we have that in one package. The next package is then if you're sort of looking at things like logos and infographics and large catalogs or brochures, that's then in a different package. The third package is really designed for agencies and resellers that want to provide graphic design possibly to their end users and sort of white label that or package that as part of what they do.
Ah, so you've got the three different levels. Are you happy to discuss what the monthly fees are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and again,
this would be interesting. I'm sure there'd be plenty of people who'd be interested, including me, Carl. So questions I have will be the questions that other people want. How much does it cost?
Of course. So the business class plan, which is our entry level plan, is $199 a month. And for that $199, you can submit one design at a time. Once that design is completed and returned to you, you can submit your next design. So that covers all of your basic design needs on a day-to-day basis. The next plan is the first class plan, which is $349 a month. And the $349 covers everything in the business class plan, plus your more complex design like your infographics, illustrations, logos, and sort of much more in-depth catalogs and brochures and things like that. The final plan, which is really designed for our agencies and those which businesses which have multiple entities within them, so sort of multiple brands that we have to work on, is $599 a month. But that then allows you to submit up to five jobs at once, so we can sort of work on them concurrently as well.
Wow, that's really, really good value, isn't it? $599 a month for five different jobs, which could be huge catalogs. And then how many revisions are you allowed?
There's unlimited revisions. Because you're on a subscription, you can come back and ask for changes as many times as you like. You know, you might have an idea that I want to see what this looks like in pink, I want to see what it looks like in blue, and I want to see what it looks like in red. There is no limitations around that stuff.
I guess it all evens out over the course of the year, because if you're paying that monthly fee, some months there'll be a lot of work on and you really get value out of it. Other months it might be a little bit quieter, so just a few smaller jobs, but it evens out in the end and it would still be very, very cost effective, wouldn't it, no matter what size business you had?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we worked with one client who was actually a paintball place in Brisbane, and they wanted to sort of do up a promotional flyer, and it required sort of quite in-depth illustration changes. They kind of wanted to make it look like a movie cover. And they'd gone to a graphic design agency to get a quote, and the quote come back at $1,495 because of the intricacies of doing that. Now, they basically signed up to our plan at $349. They were able to get the flyer done. Then they moved on to doing, they redid their logo. Then they looked at some business cards, and they did some other things all within the first month.
Mm-hmm. And then ongoing, there's bound to be other, you know, smaller jobs or larger jobs pop up as well, and they're already covered. That's really good value, Carl. What happens if there's someone who just wants, say, a one-off 2 or 3 page flyer done?
Yeah, so at this stage, we don't offer sort of one-off designs. It is, but the thing we do is that there is no contractual lock-in. So it's literally month by month. So you can sign up for a month, and at the end of the month, you can cancel. There's no cancellation fee or anything like that. So generally we find that, you know, we do have some clients that will say, oh, look, I just need a new business card design. I need a new letterhead design and a new composite, for example. So they sign up for a month, they get those things done, and then they cancel. That's absolutely fine with us. We understand that for some businesses, they don't have ongoing needs, and getting those few things together at once and doing it in a month is absolutely fine.
That's amazing, the flexibility. So is there like a period where if people want to cancel, it's like you've got to be using it for a certain number of months before you can cancel?
No, not at all. So just literally month by month.
And no notice period?
Nope. So as long as you cancel before the next payment is due to come out, that's all you need to do.
Brand strong, isn't it? It's like a god's, I can't believe I'm gobsmacked. That's really amazing, Carl. That's such a great service. So flexible. And I guess what did it, because I'm thinking, you know, like, okay, if people are just signing up and cancelling, how are you getting value for yourself as an entrepreneur to actually build the business? So how what's the typical customer?
So the typical customer for us really is more of a sort of set and forget. It's almost like an insurance policy for them. At $199 a month, they're sort of a good size enough business that they tend to have one or two tasks per month that they need. So it might be, okay, we need a new flyer this month for this particular marketing campaign, or, you know, this brochure needs to be updated. Okay, we're going to be going and exhibiting at this event, so we need a new banner designed or something like that. So people sort of then just keep the service going because they know that it's always there for them. Whenever they need to get going again, it's there and ready to go. So they just tend to have little tasks. And, you know, once they have the service, they start finding more and more reasons to use it. You know, they might sort of say, okay, well, you know, looking at our social media, we want to get more involved in imagery. So they'll then say, okay, can we do a series of images that we can share on Facebook? Or can we do some images that we can, with some quotes, for example, that we can share on Instagram? So all of those little tasks that they might otherwise have to try and do themselves, as part of the service that they've already got, they can just have it taken care of.
That's amazing. And so this is a graphic design service. What about printing?
So printing, we try and keep the businesses quite separate. Having said that, Agent Mail does do printing. And my business partner, Carl, his business does vehicle wraps and signage and things like that. So every now and then we'll have a client who is local to us that wants to use those services. But we also have a number of clients in USA and Canada and so forth as well. So we always provide them with the high-res files, the print-ready files, so that they can literally take it to a commercial printer and it's ready to go.
Magic, absolute magic. I'm very impressed with this. What a great idea. And it actually is a fantastic service for small business owners such as myself as well, because I always need design work done. I think you've got a new customer now, Carl.
Fantastic.
which would be good. And of course, people will want to know how to find you. So how do we find you?
Yep, so our website is brandstrong.co, so .co.
Okay. Is there a reason for it being a .co versus a .com?
I don't know if we were just going through a funny 5 minutes, but there seems to be a bit of a trend in service companies going down the .co and the .io route, mm-hmm. and I think we just kind of followed that trend. So it just also sort of, you know, was a little bit different. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's interesting. Interesting to know. And also, I know a lot of .coms when you're trying to register might already be taken as well. But .co, very often, what is it? It's in the UK, isn't it? Where it's .co.uk?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So .co is sort of a secondary .com, but .co.uk, and you have .co, dot something else for different countries as well. That's right.
Interesting. Okay, so I will have this on my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com, so you can find out all about Agent Mail as well as Brand Strong. So Agent Mail, which is fantastic printing service for the real estate industry, and then Brand Strong is this really, it's quite innovative and disruptive, I think, having the subscription-based service to provide all of these amazing design services as well. And such a nice time just talking to you, Carl, because you honestly are such a nice man, and you've had an interesting background. And from leaving high school at the age of 17 to creating your own entrepreneurial business that's going so well is absolutely fantastic. So kudos to you, and I wish you much success. Now, before I let you go, though, can you tell me your top three tips for entrepreneurial success?
Top three tips. Okay, I think definitely one is to have fun in whatever you're doing. For me, I love business. I love everything about business. you know, I often say that I could be cleaning toilets, but if I was in charge of the business that was cleaning the toilets, I'd still be enjoying myself because I love everything about business. So number one is definitely to enjoy what you do. Number two is to get a great team around you. So I'm very, very fortunate in both Agent Mail and Brandstrong that the people that I've surrounded myself with and the people that help me run the business are just as enthusiastic about what we do as I am. So I think definitely team is really important. And number three, I think just care for your customers. You know, listen to your customers, understand what they need, you know, and just fill that need. You know, once you find out what they want, just give them what they want.
Fantastic. Have fun. Surround yourself with a great team and care for your customers. I think those are very valuable tips as well. So thank you so much. You've obviously learned a lot over the years and now you're applying it into your own businesses as well. Fantastic talking to you, Carl. I've really enjoyed it and I really wish you much success for both of your businesses because I think they've got so much going for them. And this is not the last of Carl Quested, folks. We're going to have you back on, and next time I would like to talk all about your book Alpha Mail: How to List and Sell More Property Using Direct Mail. Would you like to come on again?
Absolutely, I would love to.
Great. Yeah, let's just focus on Alpha Mail next time. I think that'd be a really good podcast episode as well.
Absolutely, Jane. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/JaneJacksonCareers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/JaneJacksonCareers.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.